What is Satan after? Here's a funny little thing about sometimes we know a lot of little things, even minuscule, but sometimes we don't know the big thing that really matters. Satan is after more than causing you pain and misery and sickness. And he's after more than the trouble he causes you day in and day out. He has something much greater in mind. Remember, he used to be in heaven. And he knows what heaven is about. And he was one of the archangels. But we have an enemy that never ceases to try to destroy us. And the closer we get to victory, the greater he rallies his forces. It seems to me that we sometimes stumble over the most obvious work of Satan in our midst because he is a deceiver. I never remember hearing a mention of the devil when I was in the denominational church. And sometimes they would talk about the great Almighty. Or as one man said, the Almighty overall. He thought maybe he was in a union meeting. Sometimes we really don't know what we believe. Sometimes we believe that we believe something that we really don't have faith for. I mean, this is a true story, that there was a church that was in a town, and it was a small town, so the church had a lot of influence. And so it was the news came forth that there was going to be a saloon built there in the town, which had never had one before. And the church rose up against it and declared this was never going to be, and they called prayer meetings, and they really prayed mightily. They built the saloon, but it wasn't long after that that lightning struck the saloon, and it burned to the ground. And the saloon brought the church into court for bringing harm on them. And the people in the church said, "We didn't have anything to do with this." And the judge said, "I have a problem here. I seem to have a group of people in the saloon that believe in prayer and the people in the church that don't believe in it." We don't know what we believe, and we're shocked when what we say we believe comes to pass. Satan's greatest desire is to do his work without being discovered. He's called the deceiver as well as the accuser, and one of his primary ways he battles is through temptation, and all of these are subtle devices. There are those who feel that they should completely ignore him. I hear preachers preach this way, as if he does not exist, and this will cause him somehow to disappear. Pretending he is not does not cause the devil to disappear. But we have been given power over him, and we're to use that power over him. We're not to be focused on him, for we don't want to be ignorant of his devices, but we want to fight and win the battle through the devices God has given to us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist." Now, this doesn't say ignore. It says resist, because he is there. But don't get a fix on, don't get fixated on him. But resist him steadfast in the faith. So it's faith that we have that great victory, as we've been hearing all morning. Knowing this, is the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You remember that in the book of Job, God asked Satan where he was coming from, and he said, "I've been walking to and fro throughout the earth." 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul writes that he wanted to go and visit the people of Thessalonica, but he said, "I wanted to come to you, but Satan prevented me." You know, we started to go to Ghana one time, Jane and Jimmy and myself, and we got as far as Washington, D.C., and our and the flight to Ghana didn't leave on time, so we had to come back home and do it again. And some people said, you know, maybe it's not the will of the Lord for you to go. And I said, where did you get that idea? This is just something that happened along the pathway. And I've got to resist His will when God puts it in my heart. The fact, Paul said that I wanted to come to you, but Satan prevented me. So he can go all the way to winning that battle, you know. Right. We're not going to let him win. Jesus made it clear that we can have an enemy, that we have an enemy, and that there's a battle. And when he said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. But I've come that you might have life more abundantly. Well, here's the question I want to ask us today. What does Satan want? What is he really after? For every motivation, there has to be a purpose. Some people are so motivated about a few things. And maybe not even motivated at all about things they need to be motivated about. I used to have an uncle who would say, I keep meaning to come to church and hear you preach, but the golf course is on the way and I never quite make it all the way there. But you know what? He honored what we did here and he gave us monetary help, and I preached his funeral. He asked me if I would before he ever died. But we let things get in the way because that's what our motivation is. Satan is highly motivated. He never stops, and his devices are many. I want to remind you of the six I wills of Satan in Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did awaken the nations? Now, if I had time to teach all of this, I could give you a lot broader understanding, but I just want to pull out of this today what Satan is like and what he's after. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And you remember the I wills of Jesus in Philippians are just the opposites. He kept going lower even to the death of the cross. All of these statements of Satan's had to do with being lifted up. Jesus turns the attention of himself off himself and onto the Father. Satan wants the attention. Jesus is continually giving it to the Father or to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he testifies about Jesus and what Jesus has said. And the Father talks about the Son, each saying of the other, this is the wonderful one. This is the one I want you to know. You know that you have come into some level of humility when you really do prefer your brethren, as the scripture says to do. The more one time I was in Phoenix, and I was sitting with Heidi Baker in a place where they were doing some television productions, and they said, well, you're up next, Heidi. And she said, oh, but listen, this person you really want to interview is Sue Curran. She has written books and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And inside I'm saying, oh, yeah. I mean, I really felt that. I thought, oh, brother. But I appreciated her attitude about it. That's how she's gotten so far in the power of God. The more we become like Jesus, the more we desire the attention to go to others or to God. What Satan really wants is worship. Yes. Now listen tight today. You're going to learn something that is powerful and wonderful. It's not so much individual as it is all-encompassing. Yes. This is a powerful truth. Satan wants worship. Then in Ezekiel 28, we have a picture of Satan, the beautiful one, Lucifer, before he fell. Did you know he was the beautiful one? Ezekiel 28 tells us exactly what Lucifer was like before his fall, beginning in verse 12. The son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We do well if somebody said we're kind of cute. Perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was in thee. In the day thou wast created, they were prepared. Think about a creature who was created with music already in him. And the what everything that is needed to bring forth worship was already in him. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. His job was to cover the very throne of God. Miles Monroe said, don't worry too much about the devil. He's just an unemployed cherub. I have set thee so. God set him to be the anointed cherub that covered. I have set thee, thou wast upon the holy mountain, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. You know, when I spent a little bit of time with Amukta recently, she said something I thought was powerfully revelatory. And she was telling me a little about her experiences in her time for about a year and whatever. And she made this statement, and I dealt with some dark places I found in my heart. Do we understand we've still got some dark places in our heart? And Lucifer kept letting that dark place get darker and darker and darker until he had to be thrown out of heaven. Iniquity was found in thee. By the abundance of thy traffic, they fill the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I have cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I have cast thee to the ground. I have laid thee before kings that they may behold thee. It's astounding that Lucifer was the worship leader of heaven, and he covered around the very throne of God. But as his brightness was so beautiful, and all of heaven must have acknowledged that and wondered at that, then a very iniquitous thing began to happen. The worship that was meant for God, Lucifer started taking some for himself. And people will give it to you. And here's the thing, a lot of people get lost on the way to worship God because it gets swallowed up by the one helping them worship. And I don't just mean music people and worship leaders. I mean anybody who's a worshiper that draws people to themselves instead of God. So here's the point. It's all about worship. And it's not about this thing that happened with Lucifer. It's not just about worship. It's about the creation of worship. Verse 14 says, the workmanship of your tabrets and pipes was prepared in you on the day you were created. A tabret is like a tambourine. Pentecostal. Mine, 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 Jesus is mine. Remember that in my mother's Pentecostal church? There was a lot more happiness in some of those people than I later saw in some of the other people that got so good at it, you know. They got so good at it, they didn't even have to express it anymore. They just stood and did mumble. I call it mumble worship. Everybody say, I love you. A tabret's like a tambourine. A pipe would be a wind instrument, like a flute. Isaiah 14, remember, said he speaks of the sound of Lucifer's stringed instruments. So look at this. Lucifer had in him stringed instruments. He had in him the flute, which is the wind instrument. And he had the wind instrument. He had the tambourine, which was the percussion instrument. Wind instrument, percussion, and strings is the sum total of all types of musical instruments. Everything that was needed to worship with, as the scripture says, was created in Lucifer. But because of his own iniquity, he took it south. It's amazing how we can be blessed with so many things and yet fail because of the iniquity that is in us that we have to deal with. Somehow, these were even created in and through Lucifer. Lucifer was created with instruments in his very being. And Lucifer was a worship leader in heaven. Now, there were three archangels that ruled. Lucifer ruled over worship in heaven. Gabriel ruled over the word. He's the one that always came to announce the word of the Lord. And Michael ruled over prayer. He's the one that was doing the battle when Daniel was praying, and he said, I've come because I hear your prayer. But he was guilty, the scripture called it, of merchandising, trafficking. What it is to merchandise is to have something that's legitimate to provide for someone. And your job is to provide that. What's not legitimate is when on the way to giving it to that person, you skim some off the top for yourself. This means that as he worked in transferring the worship of other beings to God, he skimmed some off the top for himself. Matthew 4:8 tells us that Satan, when he was having his controversy with Jesus in the temptations in the wilderness, he said to him, look at the kingdoms of the world, and I'll give you all these if you will fall down and worship me. And I want to tell you something else. Falling down and worshiping the kingdoms is the same thing. That's how Satan gets a lot. They don't even know they've agreed to worship him. They're just worshiping the kingdoms he's provided through which he gets his worship. I just didn't mean to say that. I'm so glad I did. Here's an interesting thing, too. Satan didn't just say, if you'll be my worshiper, I'll give you this. He said, you got to fall down. Satan knows that powerful worship is expressive worship.
Yes.
A lot of people have been going to worship services for years and haven't worshiped yet. And some people know they ought to be worshiping, but they refuse to, because of pride or because of tradition and because of whatever things keep people balled up. I felt we were a little bit free today, did you?
Yes.
I can still remember, it was when we were still up in this part of our career of building buildings. We call that building now the launch pad, and it's been called Cornerstone, other things. We were still up in that area, and I was teaching on worship. And so I just had us get up and do what the psalm said to do for worship. Now, this is 1973, and that's when people were still very much stuck in tradition. But people got up and did that and did it joyfully. I had a friend that came, brought her daughter that day. She never came back again. We had just gone over the wall. It was too much. Think of it. Think of actually doing what God's Word said to do. We lifted our hands. We clapped our hands. We shouted. We jumped. We did whatever the Word of God, because we were in the process of getting free. Thank God for freedom. Lucifer was created with worship in himself. God has created us with worship in ourselves. Musical instruments enhance worship wonderfully. But we have the strings in our own vocal cords. And if there never was a musical instrument, I can sing and sing and sing and sing and sing. Thank God. And every one of you should do your very best at singing, and don't get down on yourself. It's okay if you sing off key or if you don't sing very well or whatever. Everybody doesn't have a great sense of rhythm dance anyway. Or you could even ask someone to help you. Think about that. We ask people to help us with everything else. I did. I had someone say to me, I never got the hang of when people sing and when you all just sing, like you call it, free praise and worship, man in the church. And so I just sat right there. He was sitting beside me. I sat right there and taught him how to do it. Said, now you do this. Visha taught Jane how to dance. These things are working good. It's amazing how the enemy holds people back. Oh, you're not musical. You can never do these things. How hard is it to say, I love you, Lord. I praise your name, Jesus. It's just if you can, close as you can come to finding that chord. Go ahead and sing with what you hear and let your heart sing your worship and praise to God, and He will love you for it.
Yeah, come on, brother.
We all love you, Lord. We declare you are a good God and we love you. We praise your name, who is like a God. None could ever be like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah!
I love this crazy church.
We have the vocal cords. And where, I'll tell you the person has the loudest percussive instrument in the church. Who do you think it is?
Jimmy.
Exactly. Give us a sample, Jimmy.
I love you, Lord!
No, no, the hands. The percussive. Yay! And every time you put those hands together like that, it's like you're just squeezing demons and devils right out of business. Every time you exalt God, it's bringing glory to Him. People who have clapped hands regularly at a ball game are embarrassed to put them together at church. That's a spirit that's trying to keep you from worshiping. Psalm 48:2, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? How many of you ever sang that coming through the charismatic channels? Wow. I guess we got a lot of newer people. We don't have people that raise their hands very often when I ask if they know these songs. But these songs, this is how I learned so much scripture, by singing it. I love singing it. Did you all do it in the Watts family? I thought we all did those songs together, because the church that you went to was started pretty close to the same time that our church was. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Let me tell you something. When you sing that, you're singing truth, you're singing power, you're singing revelation. You're not just singing about how you feel about things. That's what makes it powerful. Lucifer was cast out of heaven, and he's no longer allowed to cover the throne of God. The church is the spiritual Mount Zion. I mean, your Bible tells you this in the book of Hebrews. And Satan hates the church for taking his place.
Yes, he does.
Isaiah 14:13, this is one of his great desires. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. But your day is over for that, Mr. Devil. And now we will sit on the mount, the congregation, on the sides of the north, because the Lord has given us the place that covers him around his throne, Mount Zion on the sides of the north. Thank God. God has replaced the beautiful one who fell, Satan. He was beautiful, with his beautiful church. God will always have beautiful ones worshiping him. Lucifer was covered with beautiful gems and stones. Scripture says all these stones were in thee when you walked in Eden and in the mountain of God. The church, as it descends in the book of Revelation, also is covered with every precious gem. In fact, did you know that? Many are the very same ones that Lucifer wore. They are named as the very same gems when the New Jerusalem comes down. Lucifer has worship in him, and you have worship in you. The church has been given the privilege to cover around the very throne of God. This is the beauty today, and this is the power today, that what Satan yielded up through pride, we can receive through humility. To be able to... You see, people who aren't humble won't worship, won't pray either. The scripture says, because of the pride of a man's countenance, he will not seek the face of God. Pride won't pray, pride won't worship. But if you will humble yourself, you can come to a tremendous place of power that actually the church together takes Lucifer's place in the job he had around the throne of God. Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in her mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now here's something that is not clearly understood. Would you move this for me? I'm going to sit and talk with you just one moment about this Psalm 149 and verse 6. When you began to read that psalm, whoa!
I run off leaving you.
Why is it when you call people to come up, you have to tell them three times, come on up, come on. But when you're trying to hold on to them, they just go. He's only my brother-in-law. He's not going to hurt me. It was really revelation to me when the Lord showed me that God has given a commission of praise and worship to the church. Now we don't really understand this, because we have somehow had the idea is worship is something that I do the way I want to do it so I can feel good about things. And by the way, God is worthy. But the real fact is worship is something that I do according as how the scripture says God wants to be worshiped. because of who he is, and there's tremendous power in it, and it's not first of all for my cause. It's for his. This is real worship. God has a plan. I started out telling you that there's a big answer. There's not just this thing of casting out devils, which of course we do and will do. And demons need to be cast out. But let me tell you something. Lucifer, or Satan, is not omnipresent. He can only be one place at a time. And I remember hearing the man who had such a great ministry in the Philippines, help me remember his name. Lester Sumrall. Tell about a visitation from the devil himself. I can believe that. He won thousands and thousands around the world to the Lord. He was a great and powerful man. But most of us only have oppression that comes as a spirit force through demons. We can be oppressed by demons. And the other thing is, Jesus said that Satan bound this woman for 18 years. Remember that he said that. These demons can still make people sick. But the devil sends out his demons, and he spoke of spirits of infirmity, various spirits of. And so the enemy has a core of demons. You know, he's John Kilpatrick that teaches there are not any more demons being created and that they're getting used up. Well, thank God. I hope they run out just any day now. But God has given us both power and victory over demons and over the devil. I've written a couple of books on this subject. One was called I Saw Satan Fall Like Lightning, and the other was called Freer Than You Ever Dreamed. And in both of those, I studied about how we can get authority over the devil, where our authority comes from, and in what way can we step out and really be free, because I believe that God, Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I don't believe God wants his people to have any halfway freedom. He wants us to be free indeed, really free, like we were singing today, like we were shouting and praising God today. And I thank him and praise him that he's given us praise and worship as a weapon and as a power. Now, because Lucifer was leading worship in all of heaven, and when he fell out of heaven, he took a great power and he took a third of the angels with him. That's influence. When you're right there with the God in heaven. So the scripture in Ephesians talks about principalities and powers and wicked spirits that are ruling in high places. You need to understand, listen to me carefully, that it takes another level of praise and worship to get rid of those spirits and principalities and powers operating in the heavenlies. It's in the operating higher than we are. And in a place that comes between us and what God wants to send us from heaven. And when we learn to praise and worship in the way we should, we bind those forces from doing their work. That's a much bigger plan than just casting out individual devils. This is what I wanted to hope to get to us today. We've got a real important reason to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's a very important part of the battle, and God has set it to be that way. The devil knows this. And as we saw in the beginning, he wants worship more than anything else. He even tried to get Jesus, the Son of God, to worship him. Think of it. He wants your worship. He wants to take worship away that you're sending to God. Remember, he skimmed it off the top. He's still skimming. He's got his people out there teaching worship in a way that skims it away from God. You know he's a deceiver. If God doesn't get the worship, then the worship is not real worship. You understand this? If the thing about worship, I thought about it today. People who get distracted from really worshiping God, the main thing with them is image. They have an image of how they should worship and how they want to and how they like worship and what they want worship to look like. It's an image. Listen, I've been in a lot of countries and I've seen a lot of different kinds of worship. And I've seen worship that you'd think was really weird be in places where people are having miracles and getting healed. And I also have been in places where the worship seemed kind of dead, but the people seemed to kind of have a touch on God. I'm simply saying the main thing is to be sincere and serious about it. It's not according to the image of what we have about worship, but it's according to what God set worship to be that could have the power to do what he sent the worship to do. Now, what is it to do? Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Some people, you'd think that it was a punishment. Oh, I have to go to that church. We have to praise. They'll expect you to praise. And if you don't, they'll say something about praising. It's because you need a revelation of the honor. We have the honor of lifting up the high praises and worship of God. And when we do that, we bind evil kings. And we have the actual power to bring God's vengeance on wickedness and to establish that place that brings us victory, even in the high places, where there's spiritual wickedness in high places. If we could just understand this and trust God for it. I know that sometimes people feel that, well, I didn't worship much today, I didn't feel like it, or I was kind of down today. It is the most amazing thing. I want to tell you this. Something about it, a miracle will happen. Yes. If in the midst of your grief or your sorrow or your oppression or your fear or your doubt, if in the midst of that you will start saying, praise the Lord. God is faithful. Bless his holy name. Before you know it, you've broken those chains. So when you come into a worshiping congregation, if you just simply enter in to the best of your ability, I mean, with your heart, then you will be a part of one of the most powerful things that's happening in the whole world. We used to have worship conferences, and because we were in our area, we were one of the first churches that came into worship in spirit and in truth. And so we had worship conferences, and Judson Cornwall, my pastor, who's gone on to be with Jesus, was very much in favor of our doing this, and he would tell people that he ministered to, if you will go to this church and see what I'm telling you worship is, I'll continue to work with you. And if you don't, I'm not coming back. And he said, for the first time, I found that I was able to be with a church that believed in giving God the glory and humbling themselves before him to let the Holy Spirit have his way. Hey, not that our worship is technically perfect. Or not that we do everything right, because I don't even know what that would be. But we just, with all of our hearts, we just come to worship Jesus. And so I had a man say to me, he came to one of our worship conferences, and he said, this was not really what I had in mind. And I said, what did you have in mind? And he said, well, I wanted someone to give me some charts and some keys and teach us how to play some instruments and sing some songs so our worship would sound like yours does. I said, but you know, that's not really valuable to God. Just something that we admire the sound of. So we would teach about things like humility, the bedrock of prayer, humbling ourselves, and especially agreement. And we would teach that you worship, if your worship team wasn't in agreement, you'd bind the Spirit of God working in the place. Things like that. I guess the flesh doesn't want to hear. But it's what really brings the presence of God. And there was such a freedom that in one of the meetings, the meeting was so full, and there was just such a spirit of praise and worship. It was just so glorious and wonderful. Everybody wanted to be a part of it. They hadn't learned yet, you know, that you're supposed to be bound up about dancing. We don't do that anymore. They hadn't had any of those lessons. So they were just really free. And I was told that there was a woman that was standing over here, just standing there, and everybody around her was dancing. And there was a man sitting there, and he tugged at her jacket, and he, "Excuse me, lady, if you're not going to dance, would you take my seat and let me have your floor space?" I think God's given us enough room and enough space in this house that we can really make His name glorious here. We've taught enough about it that you know what the purpose in it is. The wonderful power. Worship is so powerful. Worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm just believing God today. I want us to stand together. I'm believing for a revelation for us that we will come to really embrace the reality that the worship is in us. God has put in us everything that we know that we need for worship. And thank God for the wonderful leaders and instrumentalists that we have in this house that enhance that and just help us to just float on the wings of that wonderful thing. But when we continually give ourselves in this way, Sunday after Sunday, there's a covering that comes over the house that protects us. I mean, if you know, we need protection.
Yes, we do.
From the enemy. Whatever the devil can do to keep you from worshiping, that's what he wants to do. One way he keeps people from worshiping is saying, go to church late and then the worship will be almost over and you can just hear the preaching. He wants to keep you from that time that's so powerful for you and for the church. So get here ahead of time so you can even get prepared for the worship. Then when we start worshiping, just be determined you're going to enter in from the very beginning. I'm just going to enter in from the very beginning. And once you step out and take authority over your body and tell your body you can do this and you're going to do this for God's glory, it's not so much about the things you do. It's about the heart. That I want to give my heart to the Lord during this service today. And I want to be a part of those that are rising up in the wonderful power of worship. And we will throw off everything that devil tries to do to get us to worship him or to take worship away from us. Take worship away from our God. We declare in Jesus' name, we are worshipers in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
We are his worshipers.
Yes, we are.
Now I wonder if you'd just lift your hands to heaven. And with everything that is in you, let your vocal cords know you're up next. You're the one that's going to be involved in this thing, and you're going to glorify God with that. And if hands and clapping is needed, then put those hands together without any reservation. If the scripture talks about all kinds of praise and worship and gives them names, there's a worship that bows and there's one that turns around. There's one that dances. There's one that lifts hands. There's all kinds of worship and praise in the Word of God. And the enemy has kept it hid from the church for all these years. And now you're seeing it everywhere. People are coming into the understanding of worship. And it's a very wonderful thing. With all your heart, let's lift our hearts and hands to worship to him today. Before we leave this place, let's make his name great here today. Ah, we sing your praises. Sing your praises, Lord. Oh, Lord. Come on, give it the best you got. Let those vocal cords get worked out. He is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, it's greatly to be praised. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We open our hearts to you today. You're worthy of our worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bow my heart before you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We bow our hearts in thanksgiving before you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your holy name for your goodness and mercy. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you today afresh and anew. We dedicate our vocal cords. We say that they are being used to the highest purpose when they are praising you. Thank you, Lord, that you gave this honor to the saints. Your word says in Psalm 149, what an honor I have. You let me praise you and worship you in that very praise and worship. Brings vengeance upon your enemies and binds evil rulers and keeps the works of the enemy from being accomplished. Thank you for this great, broad, mighty weapon against the enemy that wants to fill up the world with all of his wicked doings. But Lord, you've given us something higher and better. And Lord, we bless our hands and our arms today to be used, to be lifted high to you. Lord, you teach our fingers to war. You teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Yeah. And I thank you that when I have my fingers lifted up, and when I'm clapping my hands, they're fighting the enemy. I dedicate my hands and arms to your worship and your praise. Oh, I love you that you put, that you caused worship to be created in me. Oh, even though Lucifer's burned it and turned it away, I receive it and rejoice in it. Oh, yes. And all of my praise and worship is for your glory, Jesus. Yes. I come this morning and say, I want to be a part of a congregation. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this great congregation. Thank you that I can be a part of praising and worshiping. And Lord, I want to always be found praising and worshiping you. No matter how I feel, no matter what's going on, I know that is indeed my great and mighty weapon. I praise you for your goodness and your great mercy in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great. Oh, what a great God you are. How great is our God.
Come on, sing it again. How great.
Oh, so great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great.
How great is our God. From age to age, he stands.
Jesse does.
Would you get my water? Joan, up on the platform. Okay.
The Godhead, three in one.
I love you, I love you, I love you.
lion and the lamb. What a great God. Oh, we'll see
how great, how great,
I mean how great. Oh, how great,
how great, how great, how great, how great, how great, how great is our
Yes, 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 yes. Woohoo! Amen. We bless you today. We just pray that you take the anointing that rests upon the house with you out this week. As you minister, as you give your testimony for breakthroughs, that those that are lost will see your brightness, will see your shining, that you will be anointed, that the love of Jesus can be seen in you. We praise your name today, Lord, for your presence with us, for your great faithfulness, and for all of the things you do for us every day. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. I'd like to invite any of those that are visiting with us today. I'd like to meet you if you'd like to come up front. I'd be very happy to meet you and talk with you a little bit. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for